present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Miles Kington in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much. Well, once again, here in the Paris studio, in the heart of the big city of London, we have a fresh, keen audience waiting to enjoy just a minute. And as you've just heard, we welcome a guest on the program who's not played the game before, and it's Miles Kington. And once again, they're all going to try and speak at different times, we hope, on the subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And the first subject is trade tricks. And Peter Jones, would you like to take it and start the program this week now?
Well, my father was an antique dealer and occasionally made reproduction furniture. And sometimes those manufacturers imitate wormholes with a drill. But he never stooped to that. He always used real worms. And sometimes also actors reveal on television various tricks that they have for making themselves cry, for instance, using a raw onion in the palm of the hand or concealed up a sleeve. And there are other various... Welcome.
Miles Kington, you pressed your buzzer, you have challenged. What was it?
I thought he hesitated.
He did hesitate, yes. And so you get a point for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject of trade tricks, and there are 23 seconds left, starting now.
Most of the tricks of the trade that I admire are practiced by politicians on television. When they go on and are interviewed, they always say, after the question, "Before I answer that, may I just say this?" That is because they have come prepared with what they really want to say, and they are going to pronounce this come hell or high water. Sooner or later, they make a...
Yeah, unless it blows his whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. And it was Miles Kington, our guest this week, who, in fact, is the only one to have scored at the end of that round. Clement Freud, will you take the next round, and the subject is pea shooters. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
A pea shooter is a tube usually made of metal, wherein you put a pea and hit it by breath, causing an impact and possible death, either by halitosis or simply by contact with the projectile. There's no need to restrict the shooter to a pea. You could use a lentil or a small bean, of which variety I suggest that Lima, Arico, Brown and Black are the most suitable.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
No, the same pea shooter wouldn't accept a red bean and a lentil.
Didn't it say a red bean?
It would be too big for the lentil or too small for the bean.
If the subject is pea shooters, you can't assume that you're now going into lentil shooters and broad
beans. He mentioned it. He brought it up, lentil shooters. I didn't.
No, I know he did, and therefore I'm agreeing with you and giving my reason for agreeing with you, because otherwise I will get flack from the other side of giving you the decision and a point, of course, and the subject, and 30 seconds to take over pea shooters starting now.
The best made...
Clement Freud.
Deviation.
Yes?
He didn't say well at the beginning.
For those of you who've never heard just a minute before, Peter Jones often starts with well, and that's what Clement was getting at. Let's give Clement Freud a bonus point for a lovely challenge. Leave the subject with Peter Jones, as he hasn't deviated from any of the crimes of the game, with pea shooters, and there are 27 seconds starting now.
Well, the best of them are made of metal, not cardboard, as Clement mentioned.
I thought he rather had...
Yes, he rather did indeed. Hopefully. Kenneth, you have the subject of pea shooters. There are 20 seconds, starting now.
There was a very funny scene in this film, which I was watching, where the boy took one of these pea shooters and blew the projectile, or whatever it's called, into the behind of a lady who was earnestly engaged in conversation with a neighbour. Oh, she went and screamed.
It was a French film, wasn't it? I've forgotten the title.
No, it was Billy Lyre.
Oh.
He did it from the window, don't you remember?
Kenneth, at the end of that round, you're speaking as the whistle went, you gained an extra point, and you are in the lead!
Oh, heaven come
alongside Peter Jones and Miles Kington.
Oh.
And Clement's only one point behind. But, Kenneth, you begin the next round. The subject is Goldilocks. Will you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
As far as I know, it's a children's story about a girl who calls on a house in which are supposed to live three bears. And she goes into their beds or eats their porridge or something. But Goldilocks could easily apply, you see, to a girl with blonde plaits.
Miles Kington has challenged.
I think he said girl twice.
Well, listen, Miles, and there are now 23 seconds on... Sorry, 37 seconds on Goldilocks, starting now.
Well, it's about this girl who goes into the house, and I always found that this story...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, he did get a bit...
Tongue-tied.
Tongue-tied, yes. Which we call hesitation as well, so there are 32 seconds on Goldilocks with you, Peter, starting now.
Rather an attractive girl, I always thought, because she was so possessive, and wherever she went, she was always counting the number of items that belonged to her, and complaining to whoever happened to be listening that some bear or other had been occupying her soup bowl, bed, chair, or whatever, let alone eating...
Clement Roy, chance.
Repetition of whatever.
Did I say whatever before?
Yes, you did.
When?
Before he said it this time.
I don't think
That's
I did.
That's how repetitions occur.
Yes.
No, he didn't.
But I didn't hear him say whatever before. So, I disagree with the challenge. There are 12 seconds for you to continue on Goldilocks, Peter, starting now.
Whatever she had.
Ah, Clement Roy.
Repetition of whatever.
Yes, I'm afraid. You didn't repeat it then.
Whatsoever.
No, you said whatever. No, no, no. You definitely said. 10 seconds are left for Goldilocks, Clement, starting now.
Well, Goldilocks was the sort of girl who would keep going into houses and feeding bears with...
he doesn't know what he's talking about, and he's standing ground to a halt. It's disgraceful.
You've got it in with 2.5 seconds on Goldilocks, Kenneth, starting now.
She said to these bears, who's been sitting in my...
Clement Freud, chance.
Repetition of bears.
You didn't mention the bears before, I'm afraid, when you were...
Oh, talking. That's true. Yes, that is right. He's right about that.
Mm. 1 second left for you, Clement, on Goldilocks, starting now.
She never had a pea shooter.
So, Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went. He gained the extra point. He's now in the lead alongside Peter Jones. They're both only 1 point ahead of Miles Kington and Kenneth Williams, and Miles begins the next round. The subject, Miles, is the double bass. Will you tell us something about that instrument in just a minute, starting now?
Well, I have been playing the double bass now for about 15 years, and I found in that time that it's not mastering the instrument that's difficult, it's carrying it around. The transport is very difficult indeed.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
A repetition of difficult.
Yes, mastering is not difficult, carrying it around is very difficult.
You're absolutely right.
Yes, bad luck. There are 47 seconds for the double bass with you, Peter, starting now.
Yes, carrying it around is certainly very difficult. But since I don't play one, I never actually have to do that. So I'm fortunate, in a sense, in being tone deaf. But I think it's very wise for Miles to have a second string. Oh, indeed, four of them on this particular double bass of his.
Miles is challenged.
My thumb jumped voluntarily. It was. I heard double bass. I've forgotten it's in the subject.
Yes, you are allowed to repeat the subject on the card, I'm afraid, Miles. So, bad luck. There are 29 seconds with you, Peter.
29? I can't talk about double bass. 29 seconds.
Why do you bother to come on the programme? Because you say there's about half the subjects you get, but you still manage to keep going, and you often win. There are 29 seconds on the double bass starting now.
I remember a man who had a double bass, and he found it impossible to get it down the escalators into the underground. How they managed to do that with the trains, I've never been able to understand. But nevertheless, he was walking along the platform. I saw him one night during the Blitz. And when things got really terribly hairy and people were getting upset...
Clement Freud, challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed. 5 seconds on the double bass, Clement, starting now.
It would be difficult to overstate the difficulty of taking a double bass into an underground train.
So, at the end of that round, Peter Jones and Clement Freud are still equal in the lead, but only a little ahead of the Kenneth Williams and Miles Kington. And, Peter, your turn to begin. The subject is pets. Can you tell us something about those in the game, starting now?
Well, quite often, I don't like other people's. There are a number of neighbours of ours who have dogs, and they leave messes all over the pavement of the houses in front of us and on either side. And I do find it extremely unpleasant walking along, threading my way through these mountains of ghastliness and making unpleasant messes of one's shoes at the same time. But, of course, not all pets are like that. Tropical fish, for instance, are very clean and wholesome animals to have. If you can keep them warm, they don't eat a lot. And you give them a few ants' eggs, that'll make them happy for a matter of weeks. Of course, they're not awfully good companions. They don't respond to kindness or indeed cruelty. The worst that can happen is that one of them will come to the surface and float about on it for some time before expiring altogether. Down below of the...
One of the sort of wickednesses that we indulge in just a minute sometime. Peter was really struggling, is the only word I can think of, throughout that. And instead of bothering to challenge him, they let him go on and struggle more and more.
Into the boring.
Only way I can say you've got to struggle into the fish mire. You've got more and more. But you went on for about 1 minute, 15 seconds. During which time you repeated, hesitated, and deviated consistently.
Yeah. But and more the living daylight out of everybody.
But as nobody challenged you, you gave great value to the customers here and the listeners, I hope, and you get 2 points, one for speaking as the whistle went and one for not being interrupted. So you're now in a lead, two ahead of Clement Freud. Hope you think it was worth it.
Oh, very good, yes.
The next subject is dentists. Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin, and there's just a minute as usual, starting now.
A dentist is one who treats diseases of the teeth. And in olden days, anyone with a pair of pliers was in for a job for life. I believe that today things have changed and you need some sort of certification before you are let loose on the molars of such people as might call on you, although there are still countries in which anyone can have a go. Now, my dentist lives in New Cavendish Street, and I'm not allowed to give you the number or his name, because of the professional code of conduct which this profession engages. So all I can say is that he is 5'7", has dark hair, is 54 years old, and answers to the name of Henry. Anyone who really would like to have details of his identity could write to me in a smooth brown paper envelope, enclosing, if possible, a postage stamp for first class.
Miles Kington challenged.
I fancy he's deviating into history of the post office.
No, I mean, he was getting a bit near the edge, but he...
I think deviation should cover shameless commercial advertising.
Here, here, yes. Right. Shameless commercial advertising.
Well, I thought it was commercial advertising, but wasn't shameless. But anyway, no, I don't think he was quite deviating. So there's 1.5 seconds, dentist Clement, starting now.
He was an awfully nice tablet.
Well, Clement Freud started with the subject and finished with it, but he was interrupted on the way, but he does get 2 points, one for speaking when the whistle went, one for being interrupted, and he's back equal in the lead with Peter Jones and Kenneth, your turn to begin. The subject, New York. Will you tell us something about that fantastic city in just a minute, starting now?
Originally called New Amsterdam, naturally because it was settled by the Dutch, do you see, and then changed its name. The appellation we all know and love today, but it's razzmatazz. And I remember magazines saying to me, in New York, it's sort of electric. There is an atmosphere. It's quite extraordinary, and you feel alive in a way that other cities don't give you. And we talked about that extraordinary edifice, the Empire State Building, with that lift taking you up all those numbers of floors, and it got a lady right to the top, and she landed in a heap on the floor, and the elevator boy said, are you all right? And she said, yes, I always wear my corsets around my ankles. I thought it was quite funny. But then it was New York, which is another thing, isn't it? Another thing.
Wow. an interesting show this week. Another first. Starting with the subject and finishing with, in this case, Kenneth Williams, the subject of New York. 2 points, one for speaking as a whistle went, one for not being interrupted. And he's now in third place, just ahead of Miles Kington, who begins the next round. Miles, the subject is Charlie Coons. Can you tell us something about that great musician in the game, starting now?
I am actually too young to have remembered Charlie Coons at the very top of his fame, but my father collected a lot of his records, and they're all around the house, and he used to play them endlessly. And the one thing that struck me about the pianism of Charlie Coons was that he had the immaculate gift of making any tune written by almost all the composers in the world sound exactly the same. And his style was one which, though it approximated slightly to jazz, which is my favorite kind of music, was more like Muzak that we have today. I'm allowed to mention that word on the radio because it is no longer a trade name. It is a generic word. Muzak.
Kermit Freud's challenge.
Repetition of word.
Yes, you're allowed to mention that word because it's a generic word. Sorry, Miles.
I can't remember that far back.
So, Clement, you've got in with 25 seconds on Charlie Coons, starting now.
I once hired a dinner jacket from a dress hire shop called Charlie Coons. And I was struck by the similarity of the name of the proprietor of that outfitting establishment to the pianist about whom I had heard so much from Miles Kington's father, who constantly...
Clement Freud has increased his lead at the end of that round, and Peter Jones takes the next round. The subject is variety, Peter. There are 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Oh, I used to always look forward to going to the variety theatres in the old days. Many of them were twice nightly performing places, and I saw Max Miller and Jimmy James in particular, I remember, with tremendous affection and pleasure.
Kenneth Williams, a
child.
Yes, definitely. 42 else. Seconds left. For you, Kenneth, to talk on the subject of variety, starting now.
I had the most wonderful good fortune to see in a fabulous variety bill that lovely performer, Nellie Wallace. And she said, such a nice young man he was, always held me purse, said the change did him good. And I fell about laughing because she was such a scream. And the orchestra used to make rude noises, which sounded like a raspberry, and then she would affect to be indignant about what was implied. Do you follow me? And we used to giggle uncontrollably, not in the stalls where we'd like to be, because alas, we haven't that kind of money.
Well, this week, people, contestants are really keeping going with the subjects without interruptions. Kenneth is now still in third place, and he's one behind Peter Jones. They're just ahead of Miles Kington. Clement Freud's out in the lead, and he also begins the next round. The subject is hurrying, Clement, and you have 60 seconds starting now.
Hurrying is what happens when you indulge in celerity, swiftness, fleetness, speed, or any other accelerated motion, usually of the feet, but also any other limb that you would care to mention. I once hurried to work before I remembered that I had lost my job, and then came back quite slowly because there seemed no great point in hurrying. I think that's about it, really. I can't.
He didn't hurry on, did he?
I was challenged.
You were challenged by Kenneth Williams.
Yes, well, because he said that's about it, and seemed not want to go on with it, so I thought naturally it's his
hesitation. Yes, yes. So, Kenneth, you have the subject of hurrying and 31 seconds starting now.
It is a dangerous thing to indulge in, and let me tell you something. You will accomplish whatever you set out to achieve very badly if you are hurrying, because you must take your time and think the thing out. I was trying to put this spring back in the letterbox, and because I hurried, I cut my finger now. If I thought for a moment, you see, and sat down and perhaps had the odd fag and a cup of tea and a couple of aspirins, I then would have tackled that job with infinitely more precision than, in fact, the way I did.
So, words of wisdom and
humor. Yeah, and it gets me nowhere. I don't get any marks anyway. What's the point? What's the point? I ask myself.
You can ask yourself for nothing as you like.
Without clapping your performance, I'm going to shut up.
and everything was impersonation.
Oh. Is that why I
look? I'm in the lead. Oh, I'm in the lead. Yeah, you can tell me I'm in the lead. Oh.
If that's what I look like, well, one of us is terrible.
No, you look worse than that. You're actually in second place. You're only 2 points behind our leader, Clement Freud. So keep going and you might well win this week. You're one ahead of Peter Jones and a few ahead of Miles Kingdon. And it's your turn to begin. The subject is Spencer. Will you tell us something on that subject in just a minute, starting now?
Well, there's Spencer the poet, or there's Spencer Herbert, who was something of a philosopher, and anticipated the Darwinian theory of evolution quite some time before anything of the other man's was published. And I know he began life in Derby with the intention of becoming a railway engineer. What a lovely task. I've been in Derby, of course. That was the perfect place for it, wasn't it?
Miles Kingdon is charged.
Very sharp, that Kingdon, isn't he?
Let him speak. Miles, what is
yes,
your
Yes, I said Derby twice. And
yes,
he got
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
Well, I'm not denying it. I've come right
have
out
to
with
ask
it. I'm not, no subterfuge with
he
me.
He knew that I knew that.
He knew what
he was
yes,
guilty.
But I have to be
Derby,
sure that
Derby.
You had heard, and I
yes,
quite agree. It was a repetition of Derby, and there are 33 seconds for you on Spencer starting now.
I think you must be referring to Fred Spencer, an old friend of mine who taught me all I know about billiards, which is very little, I may say, but what he did teach me was enough to get me through one of those embarrassing moments when you're forced to play billiards.
Clement Freud.
Two balls.
Repetition.
Yes.
Right. Yes. 18 seconds yes. on Spencer, starting now.
The family name of our beloved Princess of Wales. And what a good thing to call the wife of His Royal Highness the Prince. I met her first when her father...
Miles Kingdon, Sharon.
I can only just hear him, but I think he said Prince twice. Prince of Wales and then Prince.
And Princess.
Princess before. Our lovely Princess of Wales. The first time. I know it's difficult when Kenneth Williams is beside him making funny faces to the audience. I have to say that so that our listeners...
He was mumbling as well.
Yes, we've only got the moving of Clement's lips to go by.
We really. Can't see them because of the beard.
Yeah.
I'm relying on... I mean, I've learnt lip reading in order to get on this program. And I'm completely defeated by the beard.
What you don't know also, that Kenneth Williams who sits beside him is also a brilliant ventriloquist.
He is, and that's not the only thing he is.
Well, it's another point down the Swanee there, I'm afraid.
Yes, I'm afraid so. 6 seconds are left on Spencer Clement starting now.
6 seconds is a very good time to spend on The Fairy Queen by Spencer. I would...
Well, Clement Freud has increased his lead a little at the end of the round, and Miles Kingdon begins the next round, and the subject is deadline. Can you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
Being a journalist, I'm very dependent on deadlines. I've found that in the newspaper world, people who write for these publications tend to be very flabby if they try to do their articles well in advance. They tend to leave things right to the last...
Peter Jones, shall
I? Repetition of 10.
Yes, right, Peter. There are 46 seconds for deadlines, starting now.
My experience has been that it's absolutely imperative when writing anything to have a deadline. Otherwise, one procrastinates and delays. And sometimes goes off on some deviation or other and never gets round to doing the job in hand. But knowing that one is going to receive a modest check or even praise from the editor or employer who has instigated this exercise in literary skill.
Yes, you heard there indeed. And there were 14 seconds left for Kenneth Williams to go on deadlines starting now.
It means the ultimate period when you cannot go any further, and the deadline in a ship, you see, is the plimsoll line, and that denotes that the cargo is of such a weight that its balance in the water has become rather, well, sometimes pretending otherwise.
Well, that's strong.
Staggering that no one picked me up, because deadline's nothing to do with the Plymouth line. Nothing to do with it.
Absolutely nothing at all. We've reached the end of the show, alas, so let me tell you that our guest, Miles Kingdon, finished in fourth place, but he did extremely well for the first time and contributed tremendously to the program. Thanks a lot, Miles. I hope you'll come back. He was just behind Peter Jones, who finished in third place, who was 2 points behind Kenneth Williams, who was three behind this week's winner, who is Clement Freud. We hope you've enjoyed listening. We hope you've enjoyed the game as much as we've enjoyed playing it, and we'll want to tune in again at the same time next week when we take to the air and we all play Just a Minute. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.